And that's real. When we chant Hare Krishna, we all have some experience of different quality, different quantity. It's an individual thing. And in proportion to the purity of the heart, to that degree, it's substantial. And when and until the heart is pure, then it's substandard, or it's shadow, and it becomes substance on the spiritual platform. Anyway, that's the good thing about chanting Hare Krishna. That's why Krishna isn't 100%. If he was 100% God, we'd really be in trouble if it was all or nothing, because then it would be nothing. So, rather, he's satisfied with just a little, and he empowers his devotional service to reciprocate jidhitam prapadyante with whatever degree of success that we meet with, and that gives us encouragement to go forward, and that's what education is all about also. So it's like children, they're in grade one. Maybe, you know, the plan is that they become engineers, but you don't try to make them engineers in 1 year. It takes time. So if in grade one they can, you know, put one block on another block and say that it's two blocks, then that's pretty good. That's on the way to being an engineer. It's just a matter of time. And if he progresses to blocks, to arithmetic, from arithmetic to mathematics, from mathematics to calculus, and then so on, then, and so Krishna's also like that. He's not asking us to do 100% at first go. So 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. And whatever we get, then, just like children, unless you reward them, if you tell them, you're so stupid, don't you understand quadrilateral expansions or things like that, tangents, and little child, then you know, you have to reward them. You say, you're so smart, you even know what two blocks are. So Krishna also rewards us for whatever little thing that we do, because it encourages us to go forward. And if the child is happy with it, then he'll stay in school, and he's thinking he's going to get some reward, and he's going to get a chocolate cake at the end of the first year, and just imagine what he gets at the end of the second year. So then he's encouraged to go back.
Maharaj, could you please explain a bit further, because you mentioned that in Bhakti Yoga it's all of 100%. Yet Krishna is satisfied with just a little bit.
Yeah, you have to, ultimately, to be successful, you have to come to 100%. But you can build up to 100% by increments. Sarva dharman parityaja. So then at the end of Gita, Krishna says it's 100%. But to get to the 100%, so just like that boy, Sanjay, he didn't get to 100% from nursery. It isn't that he just sort of hopped in at, I don't know, age 3 into BA and said, here I am. So he also worked himself up, and he also made many mistakes until he could get to the stage of 100%. So you have to get, there's none, there's nothing. You can't take it with you. There's no material luggage you take with you into the spiritual world. You've got to leave it all behind, every last drop of it. But in order to be able to achieve that, you go in increments, and that's fine. But as long as you go in increments, you're here in the material sphere, you're not in the spiritual sphere. So Krishna's very patient, he's very tolerant, but still on this side, you don't have access to that side. So you left it all behind.
Hmm. Maharaj, you were talking about developing a high taste, and you gave that example of driving the car that the person gets to the destination.
In fact, we're going to use the example of the chocolate in the car.
I thought I'd steer away. I was thinking that the devotee on sanctan service, experiencing ups and downs, how can that devotee keep a spiritual vision when the results aren't coming without getting disheartened and thinking, oh, what's the point, struggling, and how can they develop more of a spiritual vision anymore to overcome that obstacle?
Well, if we learn from the process, then our vision will develop. There's no sankirtan devotee in the world from whom Krishna doesn't take away the result at a certain time. And it doesn't matter how hard he tries, it doesn't happen. Because Krishna's not interested in the result. He's interested in whether one makes the effort, whether there's result or not. So it's always like that. The devotees come and then they do big, big, big. And then at some point, what happened? I'm saying the same thing, I'm doing the same thing, I'm talking to the same people, and all of a sudden, it's like spinning your wheels in neutral or something. It doesn't matter how hard you press, you're not going anywhere. Because Krishna takes it away, all right. Get enthusiastic by results, but do you get enthusiastic to serve whether you got results or not? Because our business is not results, our business is what's pleasing to Krishna. And if spinning your wheels is pleasing to Krishna, then you've got to be ready to spin the wheels. If that entertains him. So that happens, and that we should learn. You're going to learn it anyway, one way or the other, because he does it to everybody. And then when you learn, then fine, then just go ahead. Because Krishna wants to raise the quality of the motivation from being result-oriented to just being pleasing Krishna. And unless we're very progressive and we learn that on our own, then he really makes devotees learn. So it's a natural, built-in process. So we, just like Prahlad Maharaj, what was his gain chanting Hare Krishna? I don't know, when he was being thrown off a cliff or thrown into a pot of boiling oil. He wasn't thinking, in other words, he could have thought, well, I should save myself. Anyway, it was beyond him to be able to do anything under such overwhelming odds. But he just continued. He said, well, it's like we're singing. Radha Krishna Pranamoy Jugala Kishore Jivane Marane Gati Arnahimo. So whether I'm living, whether I'm dying, my only business is rendering devotional service. Why? So he's thinking like that. If I'm going to die, I'm better chant Hare Krishna. That's not it. I'm only going to be chanting Hare Krishna while I'm alive and having a good time in a kirtan. And it wasn't an issue for him. So ahoitaki apatiyata jinatma supersedati. One needs to. It's not merely an activity, but it's an activity behind which there's a certain consciousness. And when the consciousness is that when I'm doing everything in life, yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat stivoshi, didasi, when I'm eating, sleeping, working, everything that I'm doing, madarpanam, I'm just doing as an offering to Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. That consciousness, that everything I do is for Krishna's pleasure. and I don't have any interest in doing anything else. So we want to be Krishna conscious. We talk about Krishna consciousness as, you know, it's like the little child. He's now in grade 7 and he's talking about being an engineer. So he says, I'm studying to be an engineer. When I went to university, then they, you know, they call us, okay, you engineers over there. We weren't engineers, we were just studying to be engineers. So we also say we're devotees, we're Krishna conscious. But we're not really Krishna conscious, we're trying to be Krishna conscious. But in trying to be Krishna conscious, you have to be Krishna conscious. That is being Krishna conscious. It's Krishna conscious in practice, it's not Krishna conscious in perfection. But the effort of trying to be Krishna conscious means you have to be aware of Krishna. So it's like there's two ways of learning how to swim. One is you teach someone, and the other one is you throw them in. So when you throw someone in, they don't know how to swim, they better learn real fast. But in the process of learning real fast, namely keeping their heads above the water, they're swimming. They may have not learned anything, but as long as their heads above the water, they're doing something. You can call it swimming. So, same thing like that. In trying to be Krishna conscious, that makes you conscious of Krishna. How can I keep my head above material water? How can I chant my rounds better? These things are all remembering things related to Krishna or remembering Krishna directly. It's Krishna consciousness. And when that Krishna consciousness becomes mature, when it becomes ripe, then that's really Krishna consciousness. So when you've actually completed your studies and you've got your diploma, then you're really an engineer. Until then, you're really an apprentice at best, but just a student. So, we're more students of Krishna consciousness, students of devotees. That's why we get these names, Das. When you graduate, you can drop the Das, just like they don't call Arjun Das. They don't call Srimati Radharani Devi Dasi. You can drop the Das. Although they think like that and function like that, but they're not. They're Das in that they're servants of eternal associates, they're servants of Krishna, but they're not servants in terms of being servants of a practice. They're already situated in the realm of perfection. Okay, well, why don't you all have some prasadam and I'll talk to a few devotees in the meantime. And then we'll continue again tomorrow, although you won't be here by tomorrow. You'll be leaving in the morning. It's a good thing I remind you of your managerial duties.
Program continue at 5:00. 5:00?
Yeah,
same as today. 5:00. Okay, since Prasadam for everybody downstairs.